Yeah, I was talking to all these folks over here. You in here? You survived the eclipse, and, you know. You stayed off the roads, or you used mass transportation. So you're all here. So I appreciate that. You know, that's really good. You'll want to be in. I'm not gonna steal Chris's thunder here, but Hebrews 11. So you want to be there, and a lot of great music today. So I appreciate what Cindy has picked, but. But in one of the songs that we sang, You're All I Want, you realize that if Jesus is all you want, you have everything. You have absolutely everything. Not a bad idea, not a bad thing to just focus on and want. You know, there's a lot of things that we want in life. I do. There's wants. You ought to have a list of things that you want, but if you want him and you're desperate for him, that was another song, you know, he's not going to be far away. And if you have him, you have everything else. Everything. Well, there sounds like a sermon, you know. We could probably do something with that. We'll see. So the last time I was here, we ended a series of sermons on effective prayer. And, of course, that last sermon was taken from Mark 11, where Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, if you say to this mountain, be taken up and be thrown into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come about, it will happen. Truly, I say to you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you received it, and it will be yours. An incredible promise. And if you remember that sermon from 2 weeks ago, I said, but there's a verse before that. And the verse before that was, have faith in God. And so we talked about that faith in God, and I'll remind you of a couple things. And then as I was preparing to come back, I knew that you were studying Hebrews, or you were doing a study in Hebrews. And so I thought this would give me the opportunity to do one sermon, not a series, but one sermon on faith, which is truly so much a part of what Jesus said with regard to prayer, and so much a part of what is in that work of Hebrews. I think you will agree that Jesus made some, for lack of a better word, some extraordinary statements about, with regard to what is possible for us. I mean, what I quoted for you just a moment ago, extraordinary statement. You know, a verse that's a favorite of mine, which we've quoted and we talked about, that he said, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Whatever you ask, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That, you would agree, that's a pretty extraordinary statement, is it not? Let me remind you a couple other extraordinary statements from Matthew 17:20, when the disciples were unable to cast out that demon from a boy that was basically epileptic, throwing himself on the ground. And you know, the people thought they should have been able to do it. And when Jesus returns, you know, and finds them, you know, they said, why couldn't we do this? And he said, because of your little faith. And he said, if you had the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, move from here to here, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. You would agree that's a pretty extraordinary statement to make. You know, what's interesting about that is, you know, prior to that, you will remember the disciples did some extraordinary things. And here, what happened? And then, you know, Luke records in a different context, and maybe Jesus had to repeat this, I don't know how many times, but he was talking about, you know, don't you be the person, or don't, you know, if a person causes somebody else to sin, you know, it'd be better if they tied a millstone, you know, and if your brother sins against you, forgive him all these times. And it's interesting that the disciples say in response to that, if we don't eliminate or keep sentences together, they said, increase our faith. And Jesus said, well, if you had the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be thrown into the sea, and it would obey you. You would agree, that's a pretty extraordinary statement. I think they are. How much faith is required to move mountains? How much faith is required to say to a mulberry tree, be uprooted and be thrown in and be in the sea? How much faith is required? Jesus said a mustard seed faith. What we want to talk about briefly is mustard seed faith. They said, increase our faith. You know, well, it only has to be, I can't even make my fingers describe what a mustard seed faith is. How much faith is needed, you know, to be effective? We talked about prayer being effective. Let's talk about faith being effective. How much faith is required to move mountains? How much faith is required to make things happen? How Jesus, he was standing here, he said, well, the faith the size of a mustard seed, not much. So what does that look like? I guess that's what I'm going to try to answer to the best I can. From the last message, we know that faith involves more than believing. If we were to go about even our general population, our culture, I submit that if we went down through the neighborhood, that we would get at least 80%, probably more people, that if you asked them if they believed in God, they would say yes. Would you agree? I mean, even with the way the culture, you know, in our culture, we're getting to less than 50% of people moving into these seats. Jennifer and Bob were over in Europe. What, they, that time it was 10, right? Or less. But if we ask people if they believed in God, they'd probably say yes. But the real question is, what impact does it have on your life? Isn't that the real question? What impact does it have? If we were to ask Christians, do they believe that the Bible is God's word? Do they believe that Jesus is God? Do they believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins? Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Do you believe that Jesus is coming again? Do you believe whatever it is that we believe? We write it up in creeds and whatever. You would expect that every Christian would say, yeah, I believe that. Is that right? Everyone would say, everybody in this room is going to agree that you believe all of that. Is that right? We believe it. But isn't the real question, what is the impact of that? What is the visible difference in that? The last sermon, Mark 11, Jesus says, have faith in God. Prior to making all those wonderful statements, we noted that if you were one of those disciples, did you believe in God? We would agree. They believed in God. Why in the world would he have said that to them? Because obviously, believing in God's a little bit different than have faith in God. We talked about this. There's a difference here. You know, we said from Hebrews 11:6 there, you know, that without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who would come to him must believe that he is. We all agree right there, right? We're all there. And that he is a rewarder of those who have faith in him. That's a little bit more. Would you agree? That's a little bit more than I just believe this stuff, right? That's a little bit more than that. You see, faith involves more than believing that something is true. You know, we want faith that is like prayer that makes things happen. That's what I want. I hope you want it. I want faith that makes things happen, that makes mountains move, that throws trees into the sea, that changes things in my life and in the life of the world. That's what I want. Taking a long time to get there. Hebrews, let's just do this. Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Now, let's see what we all using different Bibles. Mine says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Who has something else? Go ahead.
Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see.
Yeah. Does anybody have something else?
I do.
Go ahead.
By faith, we understand.
Verse 1?
No, title.
No,
I'm
no,
sorry.
No, first one.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, yeah, the evidence of things not seen for.
That's good. So we got three here. Which one sounds the best?
Should I go to the New Living?
No.
I can do that right away.
No, we don't need to do that. Just because you got a phone and want to show off, we don't need that, you know, that sort of thing. Well, the point is, we would note immediately, obviously there's various translations, and I would note for you, please understand that verse 1, if we understand it correct, is not a definition of faith. It is not a definition of faith. I would also note for you that the whole chapter 11, this is where we have to think a little bit, that these chapter breaks that somebody put in here trip us up. They don't help us. Because I want to take you back to, and it's right there for you, back to chapter 10, verse 35, first of all, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. And then the last verse, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. And then it goes on. If you just keep reading and not stop, you're into the faith chapter, so to speak. But then you got to keep going at the end of chapter 11 into chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded, which he gave us in chapter 11, so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run the race with endurance. That is, you know, the race before us with endurance. What would you say that the main point of the writer is, if you took all of that together that we just did and we didn't read the whole chapter of chapter 11. What would you say the writer's, what's he trying to get across to these people? He says, don't give up what you were rewarded with. You know, don't give up your confidence in what you possess. You have need of endurance. In chapter 12, you know, let us run with endurance. You've got a cloud of witnesses that you can look at who ran their life with endurance. And he related it right directly to faith. Now, Jennifer might think that hers is the best rendition of chapter or verse 1, and that's fine. She can believe what she wants and that sort of thing. But Cindy's is actually the best. What is that? Is that the New King James? Cindy's is actually, or the King James, it's the King James or the New King James,
New
or
King James, yeah,
it doesn't matter, it's the same. So hers is actually the best. I think it's very unfortunate how this has been translated. I think it's very unfortunate. Because the word, I got to not get lost here. I would take you back to Hebrews chapter 1. See, I'm using my notes and I don't have Hebrews chapter 1. And there at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 1, where it's talking about, you know, the Son whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Speaking of the Son, he said, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact, the translation is imprint of his nature. You know what the word is there? That he is the exact substance.
What verse are you in? I'm sorry.
Chapter 1, verse 3. Being Jesus, he is the radiance of the glory of God in the exact substance. That's the real word there. Substance. If Jesus is the substance, then, as we know from other places, he is God made visible. He's God. He's the substance. He is the invisible God substance. Well, mine says imprint, but it's not strong enough. It's not strong enough. He is the substance. If you take something invisible that you can't see and it becomes visible and you can touch it and feel it and whatever, look upon it, you're talking substance. If you have in your mind a new chair that nobody's ever envisioned before, and it's in your mind, and nobody can see it, nobody knows it's in your mind, nobody, you can talk about it, you can say, man, I got this chair, you know, and you start describing this chair, you know, but nobody sees it, because it's all here. But when you finally put it together and sit it there in front of somebody, you're seeing the substance of that invisible. How much time you guys got today? You got the substance of that invisible element that's in somebody's mind. Am I right?
Yep.
Jesus is the substance of God. And of course, we know this. He said to Nicodemus, you know, that if I told you earthly things and you don't believe it, how can I tell you spiritual things that you don't believe? He who ascended, you know, is not like he who descended like the Son of Man. He's talking about himself as the one who descended. He said in another place, he said, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And in that same chapter, chapter 6, he says, I came down from heaven to do the will of him who sent me. And later to his disciples, he says, no one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known the Father. Now you know him and you see him. Honestly, brothers and sisters, if that doesn't excite us, I don't know what else to say. That is just incredible that if you've seen me, you have seen God. Wow. That's extraordinary. Jesus makes the invisible God visible. Tangible, something that they said, we saw with our eyes, we beheld him, we touched him, we handled him. God. That's pretty incredible, right? We got the most exciting message on earth and nobody's excited about it. It's unbelievable when you think about it. So, when you're in chapter 1, I promise to get done. When you're in chapter 1, it's just the same thing. You know, if you take what Cindy read, now faith is it's the same word as used in chapter 1. Now faith is the substance. Of things hoped for. It's not a definition of faith. It's what faith does. It brings into place something invisible and makes it tangible. That's what it does. It brings to substance things that are unseen. It brings it to substance. And he gives a whole list here of things that it does. And the one that's easy to think about is Noah. He brings up Noah. You know, Noah, you know, it's easy and you can apply it to everybody. You know, where am I? By faith, verse 7, Noah being warned by God concerning events not yet seen. In reverent fear, constructed an ark. Now, does this happen immediately? For 120 years, he's out there in the middle of nowhere building something that nobody has ever seen. Ever. And it's incredible what he built. I don't understand it all. Bob would. You know, but where did he get the picture of what he's out there building that he'd never seen in his life? He didn't know anything about a boat. Nothing. And that's perfectly made. Bob studied that. You can tell it's perfectly made. God drew it out for him. God told him the exact way to build it, the exact dimensions, everything. Did anybody else see it? Did anybody else? No, nobody saw it. All they saw was some clown out here building this huge boat. But when that 120 years up, that which was invisible became very visible. And it came about because Noah had faith to bring to substance something that nobody could see. Do you understand what I'm saying about faith? That's faith that works. And the evidence of Noah's faith is his endurance. I mean, can you imagine what these people were saying to him? The evidence of his faith was he just, you know, I know it's not visible at the moment. You can see some elements coming together here and you're wondering what it's all about. But, you know, I'm just going to hold on. I'm going to keep on. And at the right time, it all became very clear. And it saved his family. Ooh, that's what faith does. It brings invisible things to life. In essence, faith is not about what we believe, but it's about what we live. That's what it's about. Living is about us. And I, you know that I think this way. It's about us living in a higher dimension. It's executing our life with more than our five senses. We have five senses to execute life here, but life is more than here. We live in a world, in a reality that is both visible and invisible. That's reality. And there is a whole invisible reality much bigger than what we're living in with our five senses. We live in, if we could just as Christians realize that we live in a world of limitless possibilities. Jesus is the one that said it. Nothing will be impossible for you. You can move these mountains. You can throw trees into the river. You can, there's nothing you cannot do. That's a world of possibilities. And Paul would say, even your greatest imagination, you know, God is far beyond that. I would say to you before you get to my book that we can't even imagine what's in store for us in the way of living. It's much more, the reason why we're laughing, Cindy, when you're reading that at the beginning, it's much more than strumming on some harps that none of us have any acquaintance with anyhow. She's got a cartoon for me. Oh, my gosh. You know, that's going in my book. There's a whole lot more, I believe, than what we... God says, take your biggest imagination. I'm bigger than that. I'm bigger than that. It's going to be an exciting afterlife. It's going to be incredible. And it's not going to be strumming on harps. So I'll close it up here. Where does mustard seed faith begin? Well, it does start with belief. It does. You've got to believe. You've got to believe that there is a God. But you've got to believe there is a God who is at work. And I would say to you, it starts with an awareness because I lived this out in my life more so than in years past. It's living with an awareness of this reality in which I really live and in which you live, of things that are visible and invisible. I remind myself every day. I live in a greater reality than this nonsense that's around us. I do. You should too. And in the little, big step into this world of possibilities starts with something very simple. Because Jesus, they said increase our faith. Jesus said it only has to be this much. Two places, at least it's recorded. Jesus, I don't wonder how many times he told him. Do you have a mustard seed faith? Because that's not very much. What is the mustard seed faith that gets us into the world of possibilities in the higher dimension? Well, it starts very simply with one thing. That's obedience to everything. That's what he says in chapter 3 that you've already passed, that these people in the past, they didn't enter into the promised land because of their disobedience, and so we see that they did not enter because of their unbelief. They're one and the same. They're one and the same. So I can only give you, because I can't define faith. It's something that we have to live in. And there's two elements that God has given us that go like this together, that get us in that world of limitless possibilities. It's faith and prayer that are intertwined, because I have a faith that believes in an invisible, and that faith opens a door for my prayers to get there. And every morning, in that secret place that Jesus said for us to have, I go and I remind myself that I'm in a world of possibilities that's limitless, that anything can happen. Because my faith brought me there, and my prayers express what it is that I want. And ultimately, if all I want is Him, I love the fact that the song, if all I want is Him, folks, I have it all. I have it all. All of it. Through Jesus. You do too. It's not a definition of faith. It is faith that moves mountains. And it only takes a little bit to cross in there. That's all. And why did the disciples, why were they not successful? Because they had done some wonderful things. Why weren't they successful? Well, folks, you don't take it for granted. You nurture it every day. You nurture it every day. So that it grows. And it deepens. And it becomes more wonderful. May the Lord bless your hearts and minds. Hopefully that was helpful.